In this lesson, we're going to build a jungle percussion layer from scratch in Ableton Live 12, and more importantly, we're going to make it move, not just loop. Move, because in drum and bass, especially jungle, rollers, neuro, and darker halftime flavored stuff, percussion is not decoration, it's part of the engine. It's the thing that adds forward motion, grit, swing, tension, and stereo detail without getting in the way of the kick, snare, or sub. So the goal here is not to throw a bunch of random hats and shakers into a project and hope it feels busy enough. The goal is to design a percussion layer that evolves over time through automation. That means filter sweeps, pan movement, reverb throws, saturation changes, decay shifts, and a few controlled ghost hits or microfills. That's the difference between something that sounds like a static loop and something that sounds like an actual record. Let's start by setting up the project properly. Aim for 172 BPM as a solid middle ground for jungle and rollers, or 174 BPM if you want that slightly harder, more urgent push. You can work in either session view or arrangement view, but I'd recommend starting with a clean 8-bar loop so you can hear the movement clearly without getting distracted by the full arrangement too early. Create 3 MIDI tracks and label them clearly: perk shaker bed, perk accent, and perk texture or break layer. Then create a perk bus group and route all 3 tracks into it. This is a really important move, because we want to be able to shape the percussion as one musical element, not just as 3 separate sounds. On the bus, you can later add EQ8, drum bus, glue compressor, and maybe a saturator if you need a bit more density. Keep your headroom sensible. In DNB, percussion gets overcooked all the time, and then suddenly the bass line has nowhere to live. As a rough target, let the perk bus peak somewhere around -10 to -6 dB before mastering. Now let's build the shaker bed. On perk shaker bed, load a clean shaker or closed hat into operator or simpler. If you're using simpler, keep it in classic mode and make sure the decay is short. You want a tight, bright source, not a huge noisy sample that fills up the whole spectrum before you've even started. Program a 1-bar or 2-bar pattern with 16th note density, but don't make it perfectly gridlocked. The whole point is to get a sense of motion, not machine precision. You want some velocity movement, with values roughly in the 55 to 95 range, and you want a few hits to land slightly late by maybe 5 to 15 milliseconds, if the groove feels too stiff. That tiny bit of push and pull matters a lot in fast music like this. In Ableton, open the MIDI editor and vary the note velocities manually. That's where the groove starts to feel alive. If you want, you can also add a little groove pull swing, something subtle like an MPC-style 16 swing around 54 to 58. Just don't overdo it if the break itself already has a lot of swing. The shaker bed should create perceived motion, not rhythmic confusion. Next, let's add a contrasting accent layer. On perk accent, load a rim, woodblock, clave, conga click, or another short percussive hit. For darker DNB, I'd usually lean toward a rim or Witten sound, because it cuts through without sounding too shiny or too happy. Keep the pattern sparse. We're talking a few well-placed hits per bar, not a full percussion grid. Think of this layer like call and response with a snare and bass line. Put accents on offbeats, maybe the end of one or the end of two, and use occasional pickups into the next bar. The goal is for it to feel intentional, like the groove is being answered by another voice, not just cluttered with extra percussion. After the sample, insert auto filter. Try a band pass or low pass filter, and set the cutoff somewhere around 2.5 to 6 kHz as a starting point. Add a bit of resonance, maybe 10 to 25%, and map the cutoff so you can automate it later. If the sample feels too wide or too harsh in the mids, use utility to narrow it a bit and EQ8 to clean up the low end with a high pass around 250 to 500 hz. If there's any ugly edge around 2.5 to 5 kHz, carve that out gently. This is a great place to sneak intention. A tiny amount of filtering movement on an accent layer can do a lot, especially at high tempos where every little change feels bigger than it would in a slower track. Now for the texture layer, which is where things get really tasty. On perk texture or break layer, drag in a break sample or resample a few bars of your own drum pattern, but don't turn it into a full breakbeat. We just want the top end fragments, hats, ghost snares, little cymbal details, room noise, tiny transient bits. That's the magic. It's not about hearing a famous break loop in full. It's about extracting the grit and human movement from it. In Ableton Live 12, a couple of good workflows here are using simpler in slice mode and triggering only the slices you want, or recording a few bars of your current drums and chopping the interesting top transients into a new layer. Once you've got that texture, Process it lightly, high pass at around 700 Hz to 1.5 kHz, add a bit of drum bus drive, maybe 5 to 15%, and a gentle saturator drive around 2 to 6 dB. If you want a rougher jungle vibe, you can even add a tiny bit of Redux, but keep it subtle. This layer should be felt more than noticed. If you can clearly hear it as a loop, it's probably too loud. Once those three layers are working together, group them into the percussion bus and shape the whole thing as one instrument. On the bus, use EQ8 to high pass around 120 to 180 Hz so you protect your kick and sub-region. Add drum bus with a light touch, maybe 5 to 12% drive, and only a little crunch if needed. Glue compressor can help glue the layers together, but don't flatten it. A slow attack and medium release with just 1 to 2 dB of gain reduction is usually enough. If the whole top end feels too thin, a little saturator can help add body and density. This is also a good moment to check the percussion in mono and at low volume. That's a classic teacher move for a reason. If the layer still reads clearly when it's quiet and centered, then the groove is actually strong. If it disappears, then you might be relying too much on brightness and stereo width instead of rhythm and placement. Now let's get into the part that really makes this lesson advanced. Automation. This is where the percussion stops beating a loop and starts becoming a performance. Open arrangement view and start automating the perc bus and individual layers across 8-bar and 16-bar phrases. A really effective move is to automate the cutoff on the shaker bed. Start it filtered and a little closed in the intro, then slowly open it over time so the top end breathes more as the section develops. You can also automate reverb sends, especially at the end of phrases, so the percussion throws a little tail into the transition. That tiny throw can make the entire loop feel more expensive. You can automate pan as well, but keep it subtle. Small left-right shifts are enough. This is especially useful on the texture layer or on accent hits. Another great move is automating drum bus drive on the perc bus to make the drop feel stronger, then pulling it back slightly in the breakdown or intro. Utility width is another powerful one, but use it carefully. Keep the main percussion focused and only widen the texture layers or special transitional elements. A solid 16-bar arc might look like this. In bars 1 to 4, keep things dry, filtered, and restrained. In bars 5 to 8, open the cutoff a little more and add a bit of room send. In bars 9 to 12, bring the accent layer in more consistently. Then in bars 13 to 16, add a short fill, increase saturation slightly, and pull the texture back, just enough so the loop can reset without feeling repetitive. A simple automation idea could be this. The shaker cutoff starts around 2.8 kHz and rises to around 9 to 11 kHz over the phrase. Reverb send stays pretty low most of the time, maybe around minus 18 to minus 12 dB, then spikes at phrase endings. Width on the texture layer can go from narrow in the intro to wider in the drop, but again, keep the overall bus anchored so the mix stays club solid. Now let's add micro fills and ghost events. You do not want to wait only for the snare fill to create transitions. Percussion layers are perfect for adding those little moments of anticipation. Try 1-bar or 2-bar variations every 8 or 16 bars. Maybe a flam-like pair of hits before the snare, a 1-beat shaker dropout before the drop, or a reversed or delayed accent using clip time shifting. Even a short filtered burst with a reverb tail on the final beat of a phrase can do a lot. If you're working in MIDI, you can duplicate a clip and make a variation version with a few different note positions, different velocities, or slightly different lengths. A ghost hit can jump in velocity from 40 to 110 for one moment of impact. A couple of notes can have a slightly longer decay in the fill version. The point is to make the loop feel like it's leaning forward, not like it's stopping to show off. This is also where advanced arrangement thinking comes in. Your percussion should react to the rest of the track. If the bass line is busy, keep the percussion more restrained and let the motion happen at phrase edges. If the bass line opens up, you can let the shaker brightness breathe more. If the snare is already massive, don't fight it. Remove overlapping hits around the snare transient and focus on the motion before the hit, not on top of it. That kind of subtraction is huge. In advanced DNB, the smartest move is often to take something away rather than add another layer. If the groove already works, don't make it louder just because you can. Shorten a decay. Remove a hit. Narrow a layer. Automate one parameter instead of five. One clean motion lane can carry a whole phrase, if it's the right one. A cool extra move is to create a busy version and a spare version of the shaker bed, then swap between them at section changes instead of trying to keep one pattern active all the time. You can also use low probability clip triggers or follow actions in session view, if you want the texture to vary slightly over long phrases. That kind of small unpredictability keeps the loop from feeling copy-pasted. Another pro trick is to resample the percussion bus once it's starting to feel good. Print a few passes while tweaking, then automation, then compare the versions side by side. Sometimes the fastest way to improve the layer is not to stare at one version forever, but to compare two or three variations and pick the one that feels most alive at low volume and in mono. And that's the big idea here. Treat the percussion like a narrative element. It's not just timekeeping. It reacts. It breathes. It hints at the next phrase. It makes the arrangement feel expensive because it changes shape without getting in the way of the main drums and bass.